This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Best Show Best, the best of the best show. And you can find out more about the best show over at thebestshow.net. It airs live every Tuesday night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Standard Time. And if you're new to the program, this show, these are little bite-sized bits and greatest hits type samples of what we do every week. So if you like this, maybe you check out the full show. And if you want to support The Best Show, we have a Patreon set up over at patreon.com/thebestshow. That is how you support the program. It is listener-sponsored now, and you give what you can, and we appreciate it. And there are prizes and benefits at all different levels of giving. So, again, go to patreon.com/thebestshow and support the show. And now, please, without further ado, check out this episode of Best Show Best. Hello, Best Show. Oh, my God. This music can mean only one thing.
Let me turn off my Fitbit. Hey.
Your Fitbit?
Yeah.
Well, that music, I know what that music means. Only one thing.
Yeah.
That the caller on the other end of the line.
Yeah.
Is.
Yeah.
Philly Boy Roy.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good.
It's Philly Boy Roy in the MFing H.
Okay.
I censored myself because in some societies, house is a taboo word.
Well, okay. I didn't know that was, I appreciate you bleeping the other stuff, but not the, I didn't know house was, in question, but you did it, so there you go.
That's for you. I'm looking out for you. I know the FCCC. Is it FCC or FCCC? Irregardless, I know they've been on your ass. Oh, no. I said that word.
Yeah.
That was wrong.
Okay. Well, let's tighten it up from this point on.
Oh, tighten it up. Okay. Like a tight five.
Sure. Like a tight five.
Okay.
When is the last time you called, Roy?
Huh.
It has to be... from my recollection, at least like 10 months ago.
It was 10 months ago, yeah.
Which has to be the longest time between calls on the show.
I think you're probably right. Yeah.
What's been going on?
Oh my God! Well, where to begin, Tom? So much stuff has been going in El Vida Loco Royo.
Okay. That's the crazy life of Roy.
Oh, I guess it is. Yeah, I thought I just made up some words, but now that I think about it, I think you're right.
Yeah.
I might put that on a t-shirt. Well, look, As you recall, the last time we spoke, I was in the middle of a Manchurian candidate maneuver perpetrated by my son, Royden Jr. Do you remember that?
Oh, absolutely. How could I forget? That was insane, and it all happened live on the show.
It did.
Yeah.
See, if you recall, Roy Jr. was using a zombified me to take revenge upon Eddie Trunk, Don Jamerson, and Jim Florentine?
Yes.
And luckily, nobody died. And fortunately, there was no law on the books regarding the use of a zombie to commit an assassination of third-tier radio personalities at that point. So they couldn't charge us with nothing.
Yeah. And they were okay. I think you attempted it, right?
I did, yes. Yeah. Well, I didn't. I was a zombie.
You were a zombie. Okay. Sure. So there was nothing on the books. That's very fortunate.
Very lucky, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Very lucky. So, but that's a while ago. What's been going on since then?
Well, look, I'll be honest, Tom, okay? It's been a very long, very troubling 10 months.
How so?
Well, I ran afoul of John Q. Law in February of this year.
Uh-huh.
And I got sent to the hut.
The hut.
And I ain't talking the local hut. I'm talking the federal hut.
Federal prison. You got sent to federal prison.
Yeah.
Wow.
Look, I ain't proud of it, okay? But as my pastor Todd says, first rule of church club is you gotta be straight with the big guy, dude.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm an open book for all to read from here on out, okay?
Mm-hmm. So that's what your pastor said.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Look, before we get to all the federal prison stuff, let's put that on hold for a second. You really go to church now?
Oh, I sure do, yeah. See, Tom, I'm totally on the straight and narrow now. I got scared straight, so to speak. And now, thanks to Pastor Todd, I'm doing that. And I'll tell you, man, Church Club is the coolest church in Philly. Have you heard of these new cool churches, Tom?
Sure. No, I've seen these cool churches for young people. I've seen stuff online about them, and they make them seem more like gyms or like rock clubs than churches.
Well, you're saying that like it's a bad thing.
Well, but you're telling me, please don't tell me Church Club is actually the name of the church, though.
Of course it is. Isn't it cool?
No, it's not. It seems very forced and very kind of calculated.
Oh, you don't know what you're talking about. It's the greatest thing I've ever seen. And see, it's like traditional church, but you know, it's got a new metal band, there's weightlifting, Ed Hardy choir robes, and flagrant chest thumping.
Uh-huh.
All the cool stuff that kids like.
Well, that all sounds kind of insane, but I guess on the brighter side, there's no actual fighting going on.
There's not.
Wait, there's fighting going on?
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me? We throw down right after the first hymn, and just before Pastor Todd's smoking hot wife, Kayla, she does the ceremonial moving of the unattractive parishioners from the front of the church to the back, just like Jesus did during the serving of the mount.
The Sermon on the Mount.
What?
That's what I think you're... The serving of the mounds?
Yeah, the serving of the mounds. Crack a Bible much? It don't sound like you do.
Well, I'm going to say to you, crack a Bible much? It don't sound like you do.
You shove that right back in my fat face.
Yeah. The mounds? You mean like mounds candy bars?
Yes!
Yes, I don't think there's any reference to any candy bars in the Bible, let alone a specific brand.
Oh, well, I read the Peter Paul version.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
What? Yeah, he had like a little, it wasn't Halloween because they didn't invent Halloween yet, but he had a little basket of Mounds bars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just had a basket of Mounds bars in church.
It wasn't in. They didn't have buildings yet back then, you dits.
Okay, well, first of all, they did have buildings back then.
No, they didn't. They had huts.
You dits. They might not resemble exactly the buildings we have now.
Well, they might not resemble the buildings we have now. You know what you sound like?
What?
Some smart guy.
Yeah. Well.
But you're really not.
Look, Roy, I never said I was that smart.
Well, good, because you ain't.
Oh, okay. So this is really confrontational here. You look.
I'm psyched up from church club.
Okay. I don't know what to, well, I'm glad. I'm glad you're psyched up from church club.
Let's take our shirts off.
No, I'm not taking my shirt off.
Okay. Well, let's get back to the topic at hand, okay?
Yeah.
All right. So the reason I got sent to prison, it actually has its basis in the realm of organized religion, like we were just discussing.
Oh, okay. I'm all ears. I want to hear about this.
Well, a month after we last spoke last year, Roy Jr. and I were watching that documentary, Holy Hell. Did you see that? It's about the tiny, cool Latino guy who becomes a holy man slash guru to all these really cool, smart, attractive people. Did you see that show?
I did. Yeah.
Well, then we watched Going Clear. Did you see that show?
That was the documentary, the HBO documentary about Scientology.
Yes, yeah. And so we're watching this, and then Roy Jr. turns to me and goes, you know, Roy, you got to do that. And I go, do what? And he goes, you got to start your own religion. And then he filled our popcorn bowl with Yingling, and then he dunked my head in it, and he said, I anoint you Zigglu, the founder and guru and god of Hoagieology.
Okay. Let's take this piece by, before we get into, what did you say, Zigglu?
Yes.
And Hoagieology.
Yes.
You mentioned those documentaries. Did you actually see what happens at the end of those documentaries?
Of course I did. Okay. Yeah, in the CNN one, the guru and his congregation, they set up this wonderful church in Austin, Texas. And then in the Scientology one, L. Ron Hubbard, he helps tens of thousands of people with his teachings.
Uh-huh. Well, it sounds like you maybe watched the first 25% of these movies. Because you're just describing things that happened at the beginning of them.
No way, Jose. That's where they end, you dipnits.
Wait. So you think that those movies end, like, 20 minutes in?
Okay, look, I can't help it, all right? I have ACADD. Are you happy? I bet you feel like a real big man now that I admitted that.
That you have ACADD?
Yes.
What is ACADD?
Adult Cinematic Attention Deficit Disorder. Why?
I've never heard of that.
Well, millions of citizens have it, and as a result of it, we can't watch a movie for more than 20 minutes.
Okay,
it's
this might be the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life.
What?
Be honest with me, Roy. Are you making this up? I've never heard of ACADD.
No, it's a real thing. I've done my research and sought treatment. Now you do yours and seek treatment.
Mm. Okay. Well, look. I want to hear about all these other things. I want to hear about Zigglu so badly.
I'm champing. Chomping?
It's both.
I'm champing it. No, that doesn't sound right.
But
I'm chomping at the bit.
I got to ask you.
Yes.
What are your five favorite movies? Roy.
Ooh, fun game. Okay, let me think. Oh, well, I love Titanic. Oh, my God, what a tale.
Uh-huh. Okay. And tell me what you, in your words, what is the a nutshell synopsis of the movie Titanic?
Of the whole movie?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Scrappy young man from parts unknown stows away on a giant boat, takes a hoity-toity lover, travels without incident to New York City, and then makes his fortune as a male escort.
Uh-huh. Okay. I don't think you saw all of Titanic.
I think I did.
Yeah. It's one of your favorites.
Oh, yeah. Perhaps my all-time favorite.
Yeah.
I like other ones, too, though.
Okay. All right. Well, what else is another favorite movie of yours?
Near Dark.
Near Dark.
Yes.
And what would you say Near Dark is about?
I would describe that as a ragtag family of misfits makes their way through the Southwest, drinking in bars and looking for that one big score.
Uh-huh.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
Okay. Yeah. No violence?
Uh-uh.
Yeah, no, wait. Wow, this sounds...
What do you think happens?
First of all, I think you have the wrong movie title, Roy.
Oh.
From Dusk Till Dawn?
No, that's a TV show.
No, that's a movie.
Huh.
Look, Near Dark. Okay. They're both the same. They're both two of my favorite movies. Any elements of... I'm going to throw a thing at you. Tell me if this happens in either of these.
Okay.
Vampires.
No. What?
Then you have not seen either of them.
Should I have?
You don't watch these. Well, I guess you maybe do have ACADD.
I told you.
Okay, well, what's another movie? This is fascinating to me.
Oh, I love Stripes.
Uh-huh. What's Stripes about?
Well, quick log line on that one. Two out-of-option schlubs from Louisville join the Army, and they get into tip-top shape just before graduation.
Uh-huh. Okay. No adventure after that?
What?
Where they drive a giant, like, mega tank, if I remember correctly.
A giant mega tank? What? You're thinking of Speed Racer with the mammoth car.
I'm not thinking of Speed Racer.
Stripes ain't animated, you jerk.
I'm fully aware that Stripes is not animated. You jerk.
Okay. Oh, I also love that new movie, Get Out.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, what's your synopsis of Get Out?
Okay, well, a multiracial couple from Manhattan, they go to the country for a nice weekend, but the male, he gets trapped in this space chair.
Okay.
And that's the end.
That's the end of the movie.
Yes.
He gets trapped in a space chair.
Yes. I heard there's going to be a sequel.
Okay. A sequel to Get Out.
It's by the other guy in that duo. Who would that be, Peele?
No, Peele made the...
Key. His is called And Stay Out.
Oh, okay, so Key is making a sequel to Peele's movie Get Out called And Stay Out.
I think so, yeah. Totally unrelated, though.
Yeah? Oh,
yeah.
It's like a cheap cash-in.
Exactly, yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's a name quill.
Okay, so only...
A sequel in name only.
In name only, yes.
Yeah.
Sino. Sequel sequel in name only.
Oh, I like that, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, I gotta ask you, Roy, enough about this movie thing. I'm sorry you're afflicted with ACADD.
Thank you.
But what is hoagieology?
Well, hoagieology, that's the religion that Roy Jr. and I founded, and of which I was the public face of.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah. I'll tell you, man, its message really connected with people in Philly. People were lost at that point, and they really needed spiritual guidance. The kind of guidance only Royanetics could provide.
What is Royanetics?
My book!
You wrote a book.
Of course I did, yeah. And it sold tens of thousands of copies in just weeks.
Mm-hmm. Royanetics.
Yeah. Sounds really cool, don't it? Sounds really, really brainy and really spiritual, don't it?
Can I guess something about maybe what the underlying message of Royanetics might be?
Sure you can try, but you're never, ever going to guess what it is because it's too esoteric for your tiny earth mind.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm going to guess that Royanetics is very authoritative and uplifting, but it's also worded in a very, in the vaguest possible way. So it actually doesn't say anything of substance, but it's also still always intriguing enough to keep people on the hook so they keep spending money on other Royanetics products.
You left out the auditing.
Oh, what's the auditing? Wait, what's that?
It's the same thing as Scientology, only the cans ain't actually hooked up to nothing. Why?
The cans.
Yeah.
Okay, those are those for the readings.
Yeah, also the e-meter.
Yeah.
It's just like the front of an old Kenwood radio.
Okay.
No guts to it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So it's just an empty shell of a radio.
Well, it probably works, right? Maybe.
So you didn't even bother to see if these things that you're passing off as other things even work as the first thing that they actually are. I mean, what are you doing with these things? Are you spray painting them?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Who you been talking to?
I've talked to you long enough that I think I have a handle on how you operate.
You kind of know my MO, right?
I know, yeah, I know the moves. Yeah. I know the moves.
You know I cut some corners whenever possible.
Yes. If there's an easy play.
Yeah.
If there's the easy way to do it that might blow up in your face versus the honest and hard way, I have a feeling I know which one Roy is going to choose.
Yeah, I don't like coming anywhere near that second option.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Yeah. But look, it don't matter because this thing became huge in just a couple months, way huger than we expected. And then people started to fall under my spell.
Oh, under your spell?
Yeah, oh man, did I love being a guru. Check it out, I wore a Speedo, just like a size too small. I wore a dream catcher and that cool captain's hat.
You wore a dream catcher?
Yes.
Where?
On my neck.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll tell you, man, I look so cool, I had to keep from pawing myself.
News.
Yeah. But, you know, it got so big and we had so many cool people liking it, it wasn't long before we opened the Celebrity Center, where the higher-profile disciples could study and worship me free of the gawking eyes of non-FPs.
Famous people.
Yeah.
The Celebrity Center.
Yes.
And who were some of these famous people who were followers of Hoagieology? Yeah. Who were some of the people?
Oh, man. Off the top of my head, Rob Hyman, Meek Mill, Tina Fey, John Oates, Bill Burgi, Patrick Berkery, all the Dead Milkmen, One of Cinderella, Nobody from the War on Drugs, Chubby Checker, Gamble and Huff, Frank Rizzo Jr., who else? Jazzy Jeff, Amber Rose, Pat Olivieri from Pat Stakes, Questlove from Questlove, M. Night Shyamalan, Chuck Meehan and Jackal from Why Die, Michael Tierson, who else? Kurt Vile?
Kurt Vile?
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, as you'll recall, the last time we spoke, Kurt had just kicked me out of the Violators.
Mm-hmm.
Because I recorded this ultra-cool version of the Dead Milkmen's Punk Rock Girl, but without his permission. He's really iron-handed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, but I had to make nice with him so I could get to the real score.
Uh-huh.
his brother Jello Man.
The
he was the ultimate get for my religion.
So you were going through Kurt to try to get to Jello Man.
Oh yeah.
Uh huh. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. And that so you're trying to bring him into the fold, but Kurt was in the fold.
Kurt was already in, and Kurt was the leader of the daily mandatory Roy Librations.
What is a Roy Libration?
Well, it's like it's a celebration, but it's got my name in the front of it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So like, everybody would sit at my feet and exalt and salute me and say, to PBR. And then I'd judge each disciple on the quality of their salute and then subsequently punish those who I felt saluted poorly.
You'd punish them.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And, like, how extreme was the punishing?
Well, I'll tell you this. Every punishment was haunch-related.
Okay.
Yeah. Sometimes it was depending on the person. Like, if it was a person who didn't like to be touched,
mm-hmm.
they got their haunches massaged for 2 hours.
So somebody who didn't like getting touched would get a nice touching.
Yes. But most people, they basically got their haunches whipped.
Yeah.
It's by funny. Gamble and Huff.
They're songwriters, right?
They are, yes. Great haunch whippers, too.
Would you say that Gamble and Huff are better haunch whippers than songwriters at this point?
I'll tell you, they have their hit-making record is, no pun intended, cannot be denied, but I'll tell you, man, honestly, much better haunch whippers.
Wow. Are they in the haunch, is there a Philadelphia Haunch Whipping Hall of Fame?
Well, there is, yes, and there's also, yeah, they talk about the Philadelphia sound, you know, with the orchestration, you know, it was like R&B, but there were strings.
Yes.
These guys, when they would whip haunches, you could hear the strings.
So there's even like a Philly haunch whipping sound.
Yes.
Well, that is really interesting.
Do you remember that song? It was called PSOP, The Sound of Philadelphia. It was used as the theme to Soul Train.
Okay.
Well, we're making a new song called PSOPHW, the sound of Philadelphia haunch whipping.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, extended play.
Yeah, so it could be like a 12-inch.
No, twice that.
No, I'm talking about the record it would be released on.
Yeah, I am too, 24-inch.
So it'll be on a 24-inch record.
Oh, yeah, why?
I've never seen a 20. I didn't know there were turntables that could accommodate a 24-inch record.
Well, only one label's putting them out.
What label?
And thank God it's in Philly. It's called Silk Breeze.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's great. That seems like a good use of resources for...
Real good.
For
Tom
Lacks.
Keeping it local.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tom's really got his eyes on the prize there.
Absolutely, yeah.
But
look, you know... I know I've been really hyping this thing like it was great, and it was great, but you're never going to guess how it all ended, how it all just unraveled.
Yeah, well, Roy, I have to say, you already told me you went to federal prison, so I kind of know how it ended already.
Oh, yeah, I did, didn't I?
Yeah, this is not any mystery.
Okay, I kind of blew that one, didn't I? Well, look, anyway, towards the end, I got really paranoid.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought everybody was after me, either trying to ruin me financially or even trying to kill me.
Okay.
And there were some days I couldn't find my Speedo. And then there were some days I couldn't find my captain's hat. And then there were some days I couldn't find my dream catcher.
Wow, really kind of coming apart.
Yeah, they're kind of effing with me. And that messes up with your head for, you know, after a while of, mm-hmm. you know, it, like weeks of that stuff, people hiding stuff.
Okay.
I started to really lose it. And also, the mountains of cocaine I was doing might have had something to do with my mental state.
You think?
Possibly. There's a slimmest chance.
Yeah, possibly.
But on the plus side of that whole scenario?
Yeah.
The coke was killing my appetite, and my abs were shredded to F.
Yeah.
I was like that kid. Remember that kid who was like 10, but he had the body of Jack LaLanne?
Yes.
I was like him, but an adult. So basically, I was like Jack LaLanne.
Wow. Were you, you know, he would always wear that, that kind of, that jumpsuit. I always remember that, that blue jumpsuit.
Yes.
Like that.
And in all honesty, you couldn't really tell how buff he was because of the jumpsuit.
Yeah, it looked like there could have been some inflatable sections of that jumpsuit.
All right, here's my question to you also.
Uh-huh.
He had that thing where you can't tell if he's 6'7 or if he's 4'8.
Yes, his body type was very unique. And look, he was an old guy who was super strong.
Yeah.
But it's hard to tell when some guy is 93 years old and is still V-shaped. You're not sure what's going on there.
Exactly. And he never positioned himself, like, next to another human, so you never knew.
Yeah, he was always next to, like a boat or something.
Exactly, yeah. How big's that boat? I don't know.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know boats that, like, yeah, it's a boat. Okay. It's a boat. I don't know. The boat isn't going to tell the tale.
I'll never forget the first time I saw that movie.
What's that?
The Boat Isn't Going to Tell the Tale. Remember that one? It was Jackie Earle Haley's only nautical flick.
Yeah, and he was in it. I think he was in it all by himself.
He was. It was his solo turn.
Yeah, it was a movie where it was just him in that rowboat. And it was just, he was starting to lose his mind just out in the sea like that.
Such a strong performance. I would give anything to see the poster for that. Maybe it'll turn up tomorrow.
Oh,
you never know.
No, that poster's gone forever, Roy.
Don't say that. I have a good feeling about this.
Roy, no one could even... it's been one of the great Hollywood mysteries, is that poster. People will talk about
right.
That it was an image of Jackie Earle Haley in a rowboat.
Right.
And then over him was a giant Maria Conchita Alonso who was doing the voice of his mother through the movie. But you'll never see that poster.
You know, Tom, I think you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, man. Oh, so anyway, in addition to those problems, the IRS was after me for unpaid taxes.
Uh-huh.
And you're never going to believe this. Those SOBs wouldn't let me call hoagiology a religion.
Oh, who could have? What a shocker.
Right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know what to do at this point. So I ended up living on a boat in the middle of international waters in the Schuylkill River with just me and a handful of my staff.
Okay. So you were, not unlike Jackie Earle Haley, you took to the water.
Absolutely. Classic Ziegler tie-in.
Mm-hmm. It's always very, very neat.
It is, yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyway, the staff that I took with me?
Yeah.
I would pit them against each other to see who worshipped me the most and the hardest.
And how would you pit them against each other?
Well, you know, I'd have like a worship off, like a salute off, and those I deemed to be substandard,
uh-huh,
I'd throw them overboard.
So you were throwing people who you believed to not worship you enough overboard.
Yes. And so they're swimming around in the Schuylkill, all the while being pelted with stale hoagie buns from Pathmark.
Uh-huh.
It was hilariously humiliating.
Sounds very humiliating.
It was, yeah. Oh, and also I had a bunch of people imprisoned, including my wife Rhoda.
Well, why would you do that?
Well, she looked at me disapprovingly once, and so I labeled her and her extended family OPs.
What are OPs?
Obnoxious persons.
OP. Oh.
And they got quarantined.
Uh-huh. This is unbelievable. This is so wrong.
Well, the power went to my head. It would go to anyone's head.
Well, most people wouldn't generally take the step into this. So, But it's this is I got to say I'm truly offended by this whole thing.
Oh, come on.
Can I ask are you still in prison?
Oh, no. No, I'm free and I'm in the clear now. It's great.
Okay. How did you manage to get out of this huge hole you're in?
It was big trouble, right? Well, here's what I did. I cut a deal with the feds to tell them where Jimmy Hoffa's buried.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Wait, Jimmy Hoffa, how in the world do you know where Jimmy Hoffa is buried?
Because my dad killed him. Oops.
Oh.
Uh-oh. Look, you got to forget you heard that, and we got to stop talking about that pronto, okay?
Okay, you know what? For your sake, Roy, we're not going to talk about Jimmy Hoffa.
Good, because if we keep talking about that, we're both going to get oiced.
Okay, and I don't want to get oiced.
Good.
Yeah. So, earlier you mentioned Roy Jr. was kind of how you got into all this.
Oh, yeah.
What is Roy Jr. up to?
I'll tell you, I'm so proud of my dear boy. Now, as you recall, he was about to start classes at Drexel University, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, that had to take a back seat once our endeavors with Royanetics kicked in.
Okay.
So, basically, he ended up flunking out due to never showing up for class.
Yeah, that can generally lead to flunking out.
Dismissal, right?
Yeah. So why are you so proud of him, then?
Because he's the youngest presidential advisor in American history, is all.
Roy Jr.
Yeah.
Is a presidential advisor.
He sure is.
Huh.
He is Jared Kushner's right-hand boy.
Roy Jr.
Absolutely, yeah. He's advising him on all the cool policies that you hear about every day.
Well, that makes a perfect sense, then.
Yeah.
That just, okay. Now things are coming into focus.
Right? Yeah, he's making it. He's going to outshine all of us.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the future seems bright for Roy Jr.
I think so. He's got to wear shades.
Yeah, like that song.
What song?
Well, there's a song about that.
Oh, you're thinking of, got to get myself some dark sunglasses.
No, I'm not thinking. Well,
that's Frankenstein.
That was cheap sunglasses, not dark sunglasses. You're talking about ZZ Top, not Edgar Winter. Right? And the song I'm talking
don't
about
know.
Is by
I'm
Tim.
Still on cocaine, Tom. Don't tell my parole officer, please.
All right, Roy. What? You have the ability to just make it so I don't even know what to say.
Well,
what's going on with everybody else in your family? I mean, you said you had Rhoda removed or whatever.
I did, yeah.
Uh-huh. So because there's Rhoda and Rhoda Jr. and Rhoda.
Little Rhoda.
Yeah, they're the children.
Yeah. But look, we don't need to get into them, okay? Uh-huh. We don't need to talk about that.
You know, I got to say, you were the one who said that your life was an open book. And I think it's fair if you're going to talk about these things, if the audience is going to hang with you listening to you talk about this stuff, you kind of have to let them know. People want to know what's going on.
Tom. Rhoda and I are divorcing. And she's seeking full custody of the kids.
Oh, my God. Wow. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, Roy. That's terrible.
Thanks.
You two have been married for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah? How long?
21 years.
Ooh.
Long time, right?
That's a long time. Can I ask what happened?
Well, you know, she got miffed about the whole imprisonment thing. I don't know why. It's like, I didn't think she was that petty, but I guess I was wrong, right?
To think that she'd get mad about you getting imprisoned due to the religion you started up.
Yeah, she knows I have my flights of fancy, and she knows not to get in the way of them.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but, you know, also there was this whole issue of other women.
Okay, here we go.
What? Well, let's see how you handle it when you become a god to thousands of hotties wearing yoga pants and sports bras.
Uh-huh.
I was like a kitten in a candy store.
Uh-huh. A what?
A kitten in a candy store. You ain't never heard that?
A kitten.
Yes.
A kid in a candy store. Not a
kitten.
No,
it's a kitten in a candy store,
no,
you dope.
It's not a kitten in a candy store.
Yes, it is, because have you ever been to a candy store?
Yeah, I have.
Well, if you have been, you know that the proprietor of the candy store puts a saucer of milk out, and then that's when the kitten comes in and takes a little sip of milk.
Mm-hmm.
You dip.
Okay. Or a kid in a candy store would just go nuts as well because there's candy everywhere.
Kids hate candy, you dope.
Okay, Roy.
Anywho, what can I say, all right? I wasn't impervious to the temptations of my newfound station, okay?
Okay, well, that sounds like a very flowery and elegant way. You sound super eloquent now, trying to say what you did.
Oh, that's actually from the Van Halen song Bottoms Up. It's in the third verse.
Impervious to temptate, was it?
I wasn't impervious to the temptations of my newfound station. And then it goes, bottoms up.
Oh, okay, so you're quoting Van Halen.
Yes!
Uh-huh. What album was that on?
Two.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, look, what can I say? I took a lover, okay, and her name was Madeline.
Mm-hmm.
Don't
mm-hmm.
judge me.
Okay.
And basically, Rhoda wasn't cool with it.
All right.
But, man, what Madeline and me get up to in the boudoir, oh, my God, it's sick and insane.
Ugh.
What?
I can't stand this.
Oh, come on. You'd have to see it to really appreciate it.
I don't want to. Then I will never truly appreciate it.
Oh, sure, there's an age difference of 25 years, but our love and our lust is timeless, Tom. Uh-huh.
Okay, well, there we go. We're just checking things off down the checklist. So by the book.
What do you mean?
With, like, a rich, powerful guy just leaving their wife for some young model.
What? No, you got it all wrong. I'm the youngster in this May-December romance.
Wait, you're the one that's a 25-year age difference?
Yes.
So you're like coming up on 50, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
So how old? She must be like
75.
She's 7. Okay. All right.
Look, I can tell by your voice. I know what you're thinking. But I'll tell you, if you were having this many quality orgasms, you'd be singing a whole different tune, pal.
That's the worst thing you've ever said. Oh, my God.
Worse than when I said you were... Pudding?
No, that was actually worse. But that got... I did believe that when I missed the other one. I'll give you credit. You're not as shallow as I thought you were. But
see? You had me all wrong, buddy.
All right. I'll give
you credit.
But,
you know, I'm going to get way, way more graphic about that stuff in my Netflix special.
Wait, what are you talking about?
Yeah, I got my own Netflix special coming up.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to be filming it next month at Town Hall in New York City.
Uh-huh.
Lance Bangs is shooting it.
Okay.
And Jake Fogelnest is going to helm it, and it's going to feature music by Helmet.
Okay.
Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Jake Fogelnest is going to helm it.
Yes.
And the music will be by Helmet.
Yes, yes. And as a matter of fact, Paige Hamilton is taking a page from the Hamilton score.
Oh, this is just... So the guy from Helmet, Paige Hamilton...
One of the three guys that wore a baseball cap.
Yeah, that must have been one of the only guitar stores in all of New York City where where Lou Reed and Paige Hamilton would probably run into each other once a week.
Absolutely, yeah, and they would get into arguments over who held their guitar higher.
Yeah, and whose guitar seemed like it had more polish on it.
Yes, and it was like one guy's arguing and saying, my guitar looks more like a can opener than yours, and the other guy's saying, no, mine does.
Yeah, that's some era for guitars.
Yeah.
So Netflix, huh?
Yeah. You know what? Now that I got you here, I would love to hire you to punch up some of the stuff I got on it.
Okay.
Well, all right, hear me out. So far I got like 42 hoagie jokes,
mm-hmm.
31 tasty cake jokes, and then I got a 70-minute chunk about my 2 months in juvie in 83.
Uh-huh.
Any thoughts?
Well, it certainly seems like you have an abundance of hoagie material.
I do, yeah.
Yeah. You know, maybe you can talk about, I don't know if you do this or whatever, rather than just actually talk about the hoagies, talk about like what it's like to go to a Wawa and order a hoagie.
That's good. I'm writing that down. What else you got?
And then you talk about maybe where you eat the hoagie and the tasty cakes. Try to give some of the, just try to open up the stories a little bit. So you're literally not just making jokes about tasty cakes.
Okay. Now that's smart. I like that. I like that. And I'm totally going to use this stuff. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Tom. No, of course I can't pay you.
Oh, okay. Well,
or give you credit.
Oh, of course. Of course. Why couldn't you give credit?
That's all locked in.
Yeah. Oh, it's locked in already. You haven't filmed it yet, but it's locked in.
Yeah, we're locked. Actually, Jake said I couldn't give you nothing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then I've got a bone to pick with Jake then.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your words. I'm going to incorporate them.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you know, speaking of words.
Yeah?
Have you read this new Elizabeth Warren book?
No, I haven't.
Oh, my God, what a crazy life she had. All the drugs and fighting.
Wait, Senator Elizabeth Warren?
Yeah.
Her book is about her doing drugs and getting into fights?
Yeah, it's nuts.
Are you sure? I've heard none of that. I don't know if that's true at all.
That's totally true. I was just reading it.
Okay.
I got the book right here. Hang on. I'll read some of it to you if you want to prove it.
Yeah, I would love to hear some of it if that's the case.
Okay, here we go. All right, here's one. Not long after my return to New York, I bumped into one of my old pals, in quotation marks, from Canada, Orbit, right here on the streets of NYC on St. Mark's Place. I was with Blood Clot, who knew about those guys who effed me up in Canada. So we walked up to Orbit, right by Gem's Spa. He looked all nervous and put his hand in his pocket like he might have a knife or some S-hit. I said, what's up, Orbit? He was smiling all nervously like, hey, how's it going? We started effing him up right there on St. Mark's Place. I blasted him and then John threw a kick at him. He started backing away, trying to act like he had a knife. He had an empty sheath in his hand. We started closing in on him to go in for the kill, and then the effing cops came rolling down the block. As they got to us, they bleeped their sirens, got out of their car, and basically broke it up. They told him to go one way and us to go to the other. We went running down the block, and while we were running, we saw our friend Louie, the original singer from Antidote, and John yelled, yo! We just saw this dude that effed us up in Canada. We started running to catch up to him, and we did on 10th and 3rd. Louie ran up behind Orbit, jumped up, and kicked him with both feet. I had never seen any S hit like that. He landed with both feet on this dude's back like some crazy WWF-type S hit and put him to the ground hard. I ran up behind them and kicked Orbit square in the face as hard as I effing could, like I was trying to kick an effing field goal. I kicked that F so hard his head wasn't attached to his neck, it would have wound up like effing blocks away. But since it was attached to his neck, it just kind of flopped around while I kicked it. We started laying an ass-beating on him, and he was trying to cover up his face, and we half-assedly got him, and he was rolling around. He was like, I thought we were all cool, and I was like, yeah, well, welcome to New York, MF. By then, we got his bomber jacket pulled over his face so he couldn't really see or defend himself, and he was getting kicked and hit by all three of us. He was getting the ass beat out of him, and I was like, I was saying ass like, let's cut his effing ear off and send it home. Pretty crazy stuff for a senator.
Yeah, well, Roy, are you sure that you're reading from the book you think you're reading from the Elizabeth Warren book?
Yes, of course I am. Here, I'll look at, oh, wait.
What?
Oh, no. You know what I did?
What?
Oh, Roy, I downloaded the Elizabeth Warren book the same day I downloaded Harley Flanagan's memoir, Hardcore Life of My Own.
Mm-hmm.
I'm almost done this Harley Flanagan book, and this whole time I thought it was the Elizabeth Warren book.
Oh, my God. That's a new high watermark for you. You're almost done with the book.
Yeah.
And at no point did you wonder why Elizabeth Warren was talking about the Cro-Mags.
Well, maybe she hung out with the guys from Antidote early on or something. Or maybe she was around when the Bad Brains were doing their Rourke cassette.
No mention of running for office ever.
Come to think of it, no.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. Wow, that's, I tell you, Roy, it's all or nothing with you.
It is, yeah. Oh.
What?
Hey, I just got the 5 minutes till stage time signal, so I'm going to have to roll in a second, okay?
What do you mean 5 minutes till stage time signal?
Oh, I forgot to tell you. You're talking to the newest bad seed.
What's that?
You're talking to the newest bad seed.
The newest bad seed.
Yes.
What do you mean, like Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds?
Of course.
So you're in. All right, this I'm having a hard time with.
What?
You're in Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds.
Yes.
I don't believe it.
I mean, why?
Because like how on earth could you? And, I mean, do you even play an instrument?
Oh, well, that's not too condescending, is it?
Well, I'm asking you the question. You're in a huge band.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
About time, right?
Well, considering that I'm not sure what instrument you play, I don't know if it's about time.
Okay, well, look. For starters, Nick and I go way back, all right? All the way to 1989, right?
Uh-huh.
When the Bad Seeds was playing the Chestnut Cabaret on the Tender Prey tour.
Okay.
Okay, here's what happened. I'm walking by the club on my way to Abe's Steaks to get a cheesesteak. When I see, loading in for soundcheck, these weird-looking greasy-haired guys in these like, crumpled-up suits.
Uh-huh.
All right, keep in mind, at this point, it's 89. I'm wearing a jean jacket with the BOC logo on the back, and I'm jamming to Accept's latest cassette, Eat to the Heat, on my boombox, right?
A boombox, not a Walkman, a boombox.
No, a boombox.
Okay, so for everyone to hear.
Of course, look, you need to let the public know what you jam to, Tom. Everyone knows that, right? You don't know that?
That might not be one of my mottos or philosophies.
Well, fair enough. Uh-huh. So anyway, I'm looking at these dudes, sizing them up, and these bastards are on my turf, right?
Okay.
I gotta give them the razz. It's the Philly Code.
The Philly Code?
Yeah. So I go, oh, boy, what do we have here? 6 stragglers from last week's Transistor Radio Salesman Convention?
All right. And what did they say to that?
Those guys beat the crap out of me, Tom.
Okay.
They really took it to me. Sure, I got some licks in, but there wasn't much I could do because it was like all six of them wailing away on my white ass.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow, that is truly insane.
Yeah.
So what happened after that?
Oh, we became total bros after that.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, see, like, you know, they were on my turf. They showed their mettle, and I had to give them respect.
Okay.
And then they let me hang out with them all night.
Okay.
Such a blast. Just us guys drinking, and I was watching the show, and they were so cool and crazy. And I even got to play drums on From Her to Eternity because Thomas was so chafaced.
Okay.
And then after the show?
Yeah.
Took him to Wawa.
Really?
Tom, you ain't ever going to believe this, but it was the first time Blixa ever had a shorty.
Was when you took the Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds to Wawa.
He'd never seen a banana pepper.
Really?
How sad is that?
Well, you know, better late than never.
Yeah.
I guess you could think of it that way. If it wasn't for you, then he may never have seen a banana pepper.
It's true.
Yeah.
So look, anyway, fast forward to last month, and I get a call from Nick himself.
Wow.
He tracked me down at my new job selling Tasty John shirts over at Pimp My Philly Tea on 4th Street.
Okay.
You've been there, right?
I've driven by.
Cool. So it turns out Jim Sclavunos, he broke his wrist, and he can't do the first part of the Skeleton Tree tour.
Okay.
So they were scrambling to find a replacement, and Nick and Thomas remembered this crazy Roy dude from Philly back in the 80s, right?
Uh-huh.
Turns out they still talk about that night and how much fun they had and how much they enjoyed those hoagies.
Wow. That's flattering.
It is, right? So, anywho, Nick's a total pack rat, and he still had the hoagie wrapper from that night that I wrote my phone number on.
Uh-huh.
And at that point, I was living in my parents' house.
Okay.
And my ma gave him my number after they talked for like an hour.
Wait. Nick Cave talked to your mother?
Yes.
For an hour?
How crazy is that?
That's nuts. Do you have any idea what they talked about?
Who are you, J. Edgar Hoover? That conversation is private, you sick F.
Well,
how dare you?
Okay, I was just asking in a... You've said so many upsetting things tonight that overshared, and then now you're gonna get on me for that.
Well, that's only like a quarter of what's in my mind.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know that. Yeah, I'm fully aware of that.
So anyway, I'm playing percussion on this tour until Jim heals, and I'm playing the kid on some of the more rockin' tunes.
Roy, I gotta say, you are a true mystery man. I don't even know any other way to put it. Every time I think I have some kind of version of you figured out,
right,
you shock me with some new thing that I could have guessed. Last time it was you had a short run in The Fall, the band The Fall, and now it's the Bad Seeds.
I can't be pinned down, Tom, all right?
Okay.
It's true. Look, I gotta go. They're waving me on. I personally invite you to come see us at the Beacon Theater in June. We're doing a couple nights.
All right.
And I'll tell you, Nick would love to meet Gary the Squirrel.
Nick Cave would love to meet Gary the Squirrel.
He is the biggest Gary the Squirrel fan.
Okay.
Also loves Mike.
Really?
Yes. Said he wants to go to masses and watch boxing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure Mike could arrange that.
Okay, that sounds pretty cool.
So, we'll let me know what's going on.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
Okay.
Dig yourself. Dig yourself back in that hole.
Roy? Hello? Thanks again for listening to Best Show Best. Much thanks to Jason Gore Pat Byrne, Martine Celis, Brendan McDonald, AP Mike, of course, John Worster. Marcia Neumeyer, and you, the best show listener. Thank you. And if you like this, check out the full show every Tuesday night from 9 p.m. to midnight at thebestshow.net. And support The Best Show, patreon.com/thebestshow. Thanks so much for listening. Goodbye.